Let's see your Bibles this morning.
Word. Look at all the kids. This is so great.
Hello, everybody. How are you? Let's see your Bibles this morning.
Word. Let's see your pens. Pens. And let's see your bulletins. Bulletins.
Before we read our verse this morning, I just want to get one announcement out of the way. My passion is obviously to get the gospel not only to the world, but specifically to San Diego. And using the media is a very quick way. That's why anytime we can get in the newspaper on the news, you can reach a lot of people, especially who don't go to church, with the gospel. And so we've been praying for opportunities like that. 2 weeks ago, Fox Television called our office to ask me to be a co-host on Fox Television today after the Charger game. They are airing the game, and then right after the game, as soon as it's over, they have a show up until 5 o'clock, from the end of the game till 5, talking about the game. And so they asked me to do that with another guy, so I'm doing it. So today, right after the game, amen. I'm going to go down there right after this. I'll go home for a minute and then go back out there. And then as soon as the game's over, they're going to come to me, this guy, and we're going to talk about the game for however long, up till 5 o'clock. So I accepted it. I was all excited. Then I started to think, I haven't been to a Chargers game in about 5 years. I mean, not been to one, really watched the whole thing. And I didn't even know 3 days ago half the guys who are playing on the team, because I just haven't been really paying attention. So I said, well, you better read the paper or something. So I've been, studying up on the team, but I think, okay, it's going to be a half hour, Miles. You're going to have to say something now. You're going to have to know something. So you can just pray that I do a good job, or it'll be the end of my career at 5 o'clock. But, pray that God would have an opportunity, that I would take the opportunity to talk about the Lord, which I don't think is going to be a difficult thing. I'm just probably going to mention the Lord's name every time a Christian player is mentioned. Oh, yeah, that guy believes in Jesus. Yeah, and that's why he caught the ball. Oh, that guy believes in Jesus. That's why he made a tackle. So, I keep teasing you that I'm going to be in the movies. And if you haven't heard those announcements, I keep, every time I go to movies, I say, Debbie, I tell my wife, I'm going to be in a movie one day. And this may be the start of it. Ironically, someone emailed our office the other day saying they were making a very low budget, very simple film, and they wanted me to be involved in it. So God is an amazing God. And so I'm going to do this Fox thing today. We'll see what happens. But if you're home and you want to click it on and get a quick laugh, just click it on, and at least I'll be looking good. I have a suit on, so at least I'll be looking good. You know, at least I can do it. Okay, let's turn to Jonah. Turn to Jonah chapter 1. And I will be at church tonight. I will not. Jonah chapter 1, and we're going to read our memory verse because it's going to be the key to our sermon today. So Jonah 1, and then look inside your memory verse. And also, we'd like to encourage anyone who is interested in coming to the 8:30 service. We have a lot more room at 8:30, and so if you want to get more room, just come in the morning on 8:30, the service before this. We're trying to get as many 10:30 people there. We're overflowing, not here in the lobby, but also in the children's classes. And so we just want to encourage you in that. I know many of you, there was a young lady in the dorm. She literally came out of the dorm rubbing her eyes. What time is church? And went back in the dorm. So she made me sitting in here. But a lot of people don't want to get up early. But if you can make it to that, we much appreciate it. Let's look at our memory verse real quick inside our bulletin. It says, let's read that together on three. One, two, three. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. One more time. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for those little kids that just came up here. Lord, I just think back to when many of us were little kids. We graduated from kindergarten, but it had nothing to do with the Bible. We thank you that we can provide biblical instruction for those little children. And you say if we train a child in the way they should go, when they are old, they shall return. We pray that they would follow you from now until they see you. We pray young pastors would rise up out of that group, that young Dominique would be able to speak your word in front of crowds when he gets older, when he's in the second grade and third grade, when he goes to junior high and high school, that you would use experiences like today to cement in his heart and his mind what you've called him to be. And Lord, I pray today that we would realize what you've called us to be and your offer for salvation is irrevocable. You're holding your hand out to us and you haven't drawn it back. You're still waiting for us to say yes to you. I pray today many dozens would say yes to you, from those sitting in here in this room and those in the lobby, that they would say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jonah. We're reading through the Bible through the Daily Walk. If you are not reading through the Bible with us, we have Daily Walk pamphlets in the bookstore, and it'll give you a schedule of reading every day throughout for the rest of the year through the Bible. You are going to read Jonah this week, and I want to talk from Jonah this week and next week. As you know, many people remember Jonah as the guy who got swallowed by the fish, and we're going to touch on that today. He did indeed get swallowed by a fish. But as I was reading through it, I was trying to figure out what angle to teach on, and in verse 3, God showed me what he wanted me to speak on today. The title of my message is The Cost of Running from God. The Cost of Running from the Call of God. But the verse we read is that the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Let's read verse 1 of Jonah real quick. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Now here's what happens. God called Jonah. Jonah was a prophet. God said, "Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh." Nineveh was the oldest city in the world at the time. It was founded by Nimrod. You can read about it in Genesis chapter 10. Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. The Assyrians were the enemies of Israel. The Assyrians had killed them, stolen them out of their cities. They hated them, each other. The Ninevites were very violent people. And God's telling Jonah, go preach to them 500 miles this direction. Jonah, through his action, says, "No, I am not going to do what you tell me. I'm going this way." He ran from God's call. Now, the Bible says that the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. God has, one, called all of you and offers all of you and us salvation. Step number one, that you would acknowledge that you are a sinner, that you would accept his forgiveness and accept him as your Savior. As long as you say no, he is still holding his hand to you, saying, "Whenever you're ready." His calling to you is not irrevocable. He is not going to change his mind and say, "I don't offer you anymore." Now, when you die and go to hell, then the offer is done. But as long as you are alive in this earth, he is offering you salvation. He is offering you also the gifts that come with that salvation. He's offering you spiritual gifts. He's offering you a calling in your life to serve him somewhere, not necessarily in full-time ministry, but in ministry in your world. Whether you are a preacher, you can preach at your job. Whether you're a prayer warrior, you can pray at school. Whatever it is he's called you to do, he has called you to be that, and he's not going to change his mind. The Bible says that when you become a Christian, you become part of the body family or body of Christ. Christ is the head, but we are the eyes, the mouth, the nose, the ears, the hands, the feet. And if he's made you a hand, you are a hand. You can't say, "Well, God, I don't want to be a hand. I want to be a mouth." "Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Maybe I made a mistake. I'll make you a mouth now." That's not going to happen. What he has called you to be, he has said you're going to be, and he has a job for you to do based on what he's called you to be, based on how he's gifted you. So here you are, he's saying, I extend my hand out to salvation. Once you are saved, I have a job for you. That's the way it is. I know what I'm doing. I made you that way. And he'll wait for you to answer. Now, in the same way, he called Jonah. He said, Jonah, you're a prophet. I want you to go over here. And Jonah said no. And in the same way, many of you have said, well, I don't want to be saved. Today, you're going to have an opportunity to say yes to salvation. You've been saying no to salvation all your life. Another way, a lot of you have said yes to salvation, but he's called you to other things. He's called you to be disciplined. He's called you to pray more. He's called you to study. He's called you to give financially. He's called you to serve. He's called you to be in a small group. And you have said, no, God, I don't want to do that. You've done just what Jonah did. You went the other way. Well, what I'm going to talk about today is three things that is going to cost you to run from God. Look what it says in verse 3. It says, Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord as though he can run from the presence of God. You cannot run from the presence of God. Do you know that? If you don't know, let me tell you. If God is here standing here talking to you and you run over here, he's already over here waiting for you to get there. Okay? If God is talking to you here, and you turn around and run this way, he's already over here waiting for you to get there. There is no place God is not. God is everywhere all at the same time. There's nothing God doesn't know. He knows everything all at the same time, and he can deal with all of our problems and issues and questions all at the same time. So just believe that. That's why his title is God and not CEO. He's not a person. He's God. That's what makes him God, okay? Everything that applies to me and you don't apply to God. He's above all that. Okay, but this guy tries to run from the presence of the Lord. Look what it says. He went down to Joppa. It was a city on the coast, Mediterranean coast. He found a ship to Tarshish, and he paid the fare. Everybody say paid the fare. Say paid the fare. So what Jonah did is he dipped in his pocket. He took out some money. He gave it to the guy, and he got on the boat thinking he was going to sail away from God. Now, I don't know how much he paid. I tried to get him on the phone. He wasn't home. Tried to leave a message. He didn't email me back. I couldn't find out how much he paid. But when I was looking at this, I was thinking to myself, this brother paid money to run from God. Listen, he paid money to run from God. Doesn't that sound stupid? You are going to go out of your way, and it's going to cost you money, time, effort to run from what God called you. Don't waste your money, honey. Don't ever do that. Here's my point. My point, and here's my message. Here's my title. It is going to cost you more than money to run from God. We're going to talk about three of those things. Probably cost you a million things. We're going to talk about three. Three things it's going to cost you. The first thing it's going to cost you to run from God is the peace and quiet in your life. Look what it says in verse 4. Verse 4 says, the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call to your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. First thing it's going to cost you is your peace in your life. Let me tell you something. You can run from God all you want. You'll never be happy. You can run from God all your life, you will never be happy. You will never have peace in your life. There'll always be something nagging at you. And we ever see couples that get married, they're all, they're happy, they're living together legally now. And, you know, they're doing their thing, and they're married, do whatever the married people do. Then they get pregnant. Then they're happy, they're pregnant, they have a little baby. But then they have the baby. Babies are beautiful, wonderful, incredible. Seeing a baby born is the most amazing thing you ever see in your life. Better than the Grand Canyon, better than a supernova going across. It's just amazing. Seeing a life come out of a water-filled womb into an air-filled world. Take a breath for the first time. blood goes from going to the heart and it goes into the lungs for the first time, get oxygen. Amazing thing. But when that baby's born, all of a sudden now your life is subject to that baby. You only sleep when that baby lets you sleep. You only enjoy your husband when that baby lets you enjoy the company of your husband, privacy. You only do whatever that baby lets you do. But once that baby comes in, now the baby's in control for about 18 years, if you're right. If you do a good job, maybe 25 if things linger on. Then you get to the point where you're going to do what they did to Jonah, throw him overboard. But we'll get to that in a minute. When you run from God, you're only going to have peace when God lets you. You cannot run from God. God will send storms in your life, roadblocks in your life, obstacles in your life, as discipline, as detours, as safety nets. But let me tell you something. He is not going to leave you alone. He is not going to leave you alone. When I first got saved, first time I ever prayed to receive Christ, I was 19 years old. And for 5 years, I was not followed up. I did not go to church. And for 5 years, God kept saying to me, whenever you're ready, I'm over here. I was getting high. I was doing this. I met my wife. We were dating, breaking up, getting back together, breaking up, getting back together. She tried to run me over in her car, trying to kill me. You know, and we all been through that, amen? You know, if I can't have you, no one's going to have you. Yeah. I don't know. Y'all like, girls get all wild and crazy. And we went through that back and forth. And the whole time, almost every day, it probably was every day. I mean, I would think it was every day because it was just, when I think back to those 5 years, that's all I can remember. Every day God's telling me, whenever you're ready, you won't get high anymore, you'll marry her, and all this drama in your life will be gone. I was like, God, one more day. Okay, go ahead. Another day go by, another miserable day. He said, you ready yet? Oh, man, God. One more day. Okay, go ahead. 5 years went by like that. You can run for God all you want. Let me tell you, you don't want to ask Christ to be your Savior? Go ahead. You'll be miserable. Oh, you'll have some days where you'll think you're having fun. You'll have some days when there might be peace. But let me tell you something. He'll just come back around. Hey, and you know what the thing about God? He loves you to himself. He just loves you. Tell how much he loves you. Tell how much how he wants to bless you. And you'll just run. You'll run. And the storm will come. And all your peace. You know what the Bible says? That Jesus' name is, the Bible says, unto us a child is going to be born. His name is going to be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Almighty Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You can't get peace at Nordstrom's. You can't. You go buy your little whatever you buy. You know, your shoes, your clothes, your house, your car. Get all these things. But you can't get peace doing that. Only Jesus can give you the peace that he can. See, because Christ's peace surpasses all understanding. In other words, it's working when you don't think it should. When everything's falling apart and you're not tripping, you're like, wow, I'm not going. It's because the Prince of Peace is guarding your heart. You can't get that anywhere except with God. Because God's peace works when everything else that you're trusting in fails. His peace works. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 that it says, walk in the spirit, then you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts or wars or desires against the spirit. The word lust is not only a sexual thing. Lust means to desire something that you can't have. It doesn't belong to you. That's all that means. You can lust money. You can lust food. It's just a strong desire for something that doesn't belong to you. The Bible says here, the flesh is trying to get something and it wars against the spirit. It desires and its desires are contrary to the spirit of God. They're in fighting. And when you fight with God, that's the struggle you feel. That's the peace you're never going to have until you say, Lord, I want to desire what you want me to desire. But as long as you desire what you want to desire, thinking that you know better than God, you are always going to have a storm in your life. And it may be a quiet storm. When you put lobster in hot water to boil them and kill them and eat them, as people do, if you listen closely, you can hear them screaming. put them in there. It's true. And if you listen really closely, and this part's not true, but I'll say it anyway. If you listen really closely, you can hear him say, "You're so evil." But they, a high-pitched sound comes from them when they're dying. And it may not be loud, but it's there. That's how some of your lives are. You're going and you're working. You're making money. You're healthy. You have a house. Everything seems to be okay. But there's this little scream in your heart. This little something's not right. You know what that's that? You don't have the Prince of Peace as your Savior. He's not Lord of all your life, your problems, your fears, your doubts. He's not in control. You're still in control. You need to let go. So when you run from God, it's going to cost you peace. Next thing it's going to cost you, it's going to cost you your reputation, respect of other people. Look what it says in verse 7. They said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots," like roll the dice, "that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come." Sometimes God would speak to people through casting lots. It's like a type of a rolling dice. So they cast the lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. He got busted. He was busted. Look what it says in verse 8. It says, "Then they said to him, 'Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And what people are you from?' He says, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the God, the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land.'" You know what happened? They said, "It's your fault." Let me tell you something. People in your life, in your world, in your family know you're running from God. They know you're running from God. There's some of y'all out there, you should be in ministry, and everybody knows it but you. Well, you know it, you're just rebellion. Some of you out there treating your family bad, you're cheating on your wife, cheating on your husband, getting drunk too much, getting drunk at all. Your mouth is foul, you don't read, you don't pray, you're running from what God's calling you to do, and everybody's looking at you, and they know it's you. They don't respect you because you know what? You may be doing all the things right in the world's eyes, but in God's eyes, you're doing everything wrong. And they know it. And they're looking right at you. They said, "Jonah, you're the cause of this." And look what it says in verse 10. It says, "The men were exceedingly afraid, and they said, 'Why have you done this to us?'" You know what the Bible says in Numbers? The Bible says in the book of Numbers, chapter 32, verse 23, it says that your sin will find you out sooner or later, and it could simply be the sin of a runner from God. There's a snake called the thirst snake. The thirst snake, one of the things it eats are slugs. You know what a slug is? It's a little slimy thing. And slugs move real slow, and they slime when they walk, when they move. They kind of move like that, okay? And they leave a trail of slime behind them. And what this thirst snake does is he just, with his tongue, they smell with their tongue, snakes do, and he just follows the slime. Snake can move faster than the slug. He just follows the slime, and it leads right to the slug and eats him. All of us have slime. Amen?
Amen. I ain't got no slime. He talking about calling me slimy. I ain't coming back to this church anymore. I ain't calling me slimy.
Whoever you came with today, when you go out, walk in the parking lot, ask them, "Do I have slime?" And they will tell you. They might tell you to sit down and get a pen out. Maybe get a computer. You might need some big time memory for this list of slime. But if you ask them, your slime will find you out. Ask people in your life, in what way am I running from God? In what way am I being disobedient to God? In what way am I doubting God? Am I walking in fear? Why am I doing this? You have to confront that with yourself. Why am I doing the things I do? Matter of fact, in counseling, if you ever confronted with a counseling situation with a friend or someone, neighbor who's having a problem, and you don't know what to say, ask them questions. one of the gifts God has given me is I'm a good question asker. Not only I just ask a whole lot of questions, so I figure some of them are going to be right. But I ask questions. So I say, do you have any idea, first they come to counsel and say, what's that big bump on your head? Well, my wife hit me with a pot. Do you have any idea why?
No, man, no, she's just tripping, man. She just woke up one day and hit me with the pot.
See, I don't think so. Let's go back. Did you do anything in the week before that she hit you with the pot that might have precipitated this whooping? And if you ask questions, people will eventually tell you what their slime is. They know. They know. Look what it says in verse 10. It says, the men were exceedingly afraid, and they said to him, why have you done this to us? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. You know what? If I was to ask all of you, in what way you run from God, you'd be able to tell me. You'd be able to tell me. People know it. When are you going to face up to it? You need to finally say, Lord, I'm trying to trick myself and I'm being a fool. I'm found out. God knows. Other people know. And other people are getting tired of you running from God, and they're losing respect for you each day that you disobey God knowingly. And maybe you need to think about it more. Maybe you need to really contemplate and sit by yourself today and spend some quiet time and say, Lord, in what way am I running from you? Let me think about this. A lot of times when you get in counseling situations, especially with families, everyone's mad at each other. They're hurt. Everyone's trying to defend their pride, defend their space. But after a while, when all the truth gets down and everyone gets humbled, everyone starts saying, especially the person whose fault it is, it was me. First thing it's going to cost you is your peace. Second thing it's going to cost you is your reputation and respect from other people. But the third thing, which is very costly, it's going to cost you your relationships with other people. Because when God puts a storm on you for your sin, everybody in that storm's path gets hurt. Look what it says in verse 10. It says, the men were exceedingly afraid, and they said, Jonah, why have you done this to us? Done this, for the men knew that he feared the Lord from the presence of the Lord because he told them. Verse 11, then he said to them, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? You know what they said? Hey, say, Jonah, what do we got to do to you so we can sleep at night? It's the hardest thing for a parent to discipline a child to this degree. They get ready to throw them off the boat. And many times parents want to save their kids, and they keep forgiving their kids. They keep letting them live at home. They keep letting them steal from them. They keep letting them another chance. And you know what? It is biblical that there's going to come a day when you have to do this. And it's hard. But you got to step back and let them fall and hit the concrete. And then, depends on what God tells you, when they start crawling, begging for help, in some instances, you got to let them crawl. And when they crawl and start calling you names, saying you don't love them, in some instances, I can't get up on my kid, you got to help me get up. And you know what happens? They figure out a way to get up. Then they figure out a way to walk. Then they figure out a way to make it. And in the end, they thank you. You know what? Sometimes we got to say, what do we got to do? God, what do you want me to do? And for some of y'all, you know what God's going to do? He's going to keep backing up. He's going to let you suffer. He's going to let you cry. He's going to let you complain because you're trying to get your solution from every way except his way. And he's not going to give it to you. And he says, what do we got to do to you? And if you are running from God, whether you are non-Christian, you've never asked Christ, and you're doing things your way, or you're a Christian and you're in rebellion to God, let me tell you something. As long as you run from God, everybody around you is being affected by it. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, it says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and by no means clearing the guilty, and this is what he says, that he visits the sin of fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Some of y'all are doing the things you're doing today because your daddy did them, and your granddaddy did them, and your great-granddaddy did them. Some of you view other people different than you the way you view them because of what your daddy taught you, what your granddaddy taught you. And some of you can't forgive people, can't love people, or you do forgive people the way you do because of what you learned from your daddy. Their sin has been passed down from generation to generation to generation. And your sin today is not only affecting the people around you, but it's going to affect the people you pass it down to under you. And so if you're running from God, even if you're running from him and not praying, maybe I only pray to myself. I don't pray with my kids. Well, let me tell you something. That's going to affect your kids, because your kids need to see you pray. They need to see you forgive your wife, forgive your husband. They need to see you guys make up. They need to see you read the Bible together as an example to them. If whatever it is God's calls you to do, because if you don't do it, there are repercussions and the consequences that not only affect you, but affect the people around you. Some of you, the Bible says that a wife should respect her husband. Hey, let me tell you something. You don't respect your husband, you're going to affect the family. The Bible says a husband should love his wife. If you don't do that, hey, you're going to affect the family. The Bible says children should obey their parents. It's the only a commandment with a promise, the promise that you don't get killed by your parents. If you don't obey your parents, the repercussions are going to be family-wide. So this little storm of the cost of not obeying God is going to affect people around you. You need to start thinking, what is it that I'm doing now? Or what is it that I'm not doing now that's bringing storms and bringing people are catching hell because of it? There's a song on this tape I got, and it says, if you catch hell, don't hold on. And if you're walking through it, don't stop. Amen? Hey, if something's happening, they'll go, okay, I'm going to hold it. No, get it out of here. And if you're walking through hell, just keep on going. I had a guy, it was a joke. He said, hey, man, I live down in Florida. If you're ever passing through, just keep on going. Don't stop my house. Just keep on going. Be passed right through. Let me tell you something. People are catching hell because of you. And they said to Jonah, Jonah, what do we got to do to you to help us? Because you know what? Your problems, we don't want your problems. I don't want your pain. You got to deal with your pain. Look what it says in verse 11. It says, they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more temperature. You know what happened? It was getting worse and worse and worse and worse. You ever wonder why people at 60 get a divorce? I mean, when people that old get a divorce, I wonder, why? You've been together so long because the devil's been working on them and working on them and working on them. And he finally broke. And it's just a subtle thing. Subtle thing in relationships. A subtle thing in your own heart. There's some things that some of y'all are thinking about doing that you know is wrong, but you haven't done it yet. But the devil's planting a seed. Is something wrong? You know, maybe some of y'all thinking about getting into pornography. You think about robbing somebody. You think about getting revenge. You think about sabotaging something. And he's like planning, scheming. Devil's patient. He got your whole life. He just wants you to go to hell. That's all he cares about. He don't care how you get there. He don't care if you get there through prison or through living in La Jolla or on the beach in a big house. He don't care. He just wants to get you there. So he'll just be patient, and the storm is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger, and finally you got to decide, I can't take it anymore. And you may have a relationship with somebody where they're irritating you, and you got to think, okay, I got to do something because I'm getting ready to hit you, and I know that's wrong. So God, what do I got to do? And you know what? You know what's the best thing if you have a conflict with somebody and you don't know what to do, you should ask them, what can I do to fix this issue? Just ask them, and they'll probably tell you, because look what it says. Verse 12. Jonah said, pick me up, throw me into the sea, and then the sea will become calm for you. For I know this great tempest is because of me. Jonah, what are you thinking? Jonah, God says, Jonah, go to Nineveh. He says, no, God. Here you go. Here's some money. I want to go over here and run from God. Man, God is mad. He is really mad. What's going on? Oh, yeah, I guess it's me, y'all. Just throw me over. This is between me and God. Y'all happen to be collateral damage. Throw me in the water. If I was to ask you how, in what way you're running from God and what do you need to do to fix it, you know. Listen, you know. Now, you may think you know, but you know. And here's what you know. You know enough to take a first step. Now, what the problem is, you don't think what you know is going to fix it. Now, what you know probably won't fix it. What you know is going to put you on the path to getting it fixed. In other words, you may think, man, I got all these issues. I need to read my Bible. Now, you may not know why reading your Bible is going to fix it. You may not understand, or maybe you even doubt that reading the Bible is going to fix it, but you know it's what you're supposed to do. Guess what? By faith, you do it. That's how it works. Because you're going to come to someone like me, sit down for a whole hour. Well, it won't be an hour. It'll be quick. Because I'm going to ask you right up, are you reading your Bible? No. Well, go do that then. Well, you know, are you going to hear this? No, I really don't have to hear the whole story, because you know what? It's all going to come back to you obeying God. Because all those things that you're going to argue and tell me why you're a victim doesn't matter, because you have to obey God. And people have, we can victimize ourselves in all kind of ways. Well, I was a poor kid. I didn't have my environment. Well, there's a whole bunch of poor people that are great people. Well, I was just too rich. My parents gave me everything. Well, I hear that too. Well, you know, there's a whole bunch of rich people that made it fine. You know what it is? It was you and your sin. You may think, okay, well, maybe if I read my Bible, maybe if I start going to church, well, what's church going to do? You obeying and putting yourself in the presence of God is going to do a lot. You don't have to understand exactly all the steps of how it's going to work. You, by faith, just have to admit to what it is. And for some of you, you just need to say, I need Jesus. I just need to get saved. I've been running from God all my life. I've been hearing the gospel all my life. I believe he died for my sin, rose from the dead. I believe I'm a sinner. I just need to get saved. And I know that's the first thing I got to do. I don't know how it's going to fix my marriage. I don't know how it's going to heal my addiction. I don't know how it's going to, take my depression away. I just know that's what I got to do. That's exactly right. Because only God knows how he's going to do all that stuff. His ways are not your ways. The way he'll do it is going to be a way that no man could ever tell you. It's supernatural. So look what it says. It says, nevertheless, verse 13, the men rowed harder to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Let me tell you something. People try. Even they were trying. Oh, we don't want to throw you over. They were saying, let's go another route. God said, no, I want that boy in the water. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life. And do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and threw that bad boy into the water. And the sea ceased from its raging. Whew. You ever have someone living with you or someone in your life, and you deal with them and you deal with them, and it's not, you're hitting your head up against the wall, you deal with them, and finally you say, get out. Or, it's over. Take this ring. And when they leave, you go, I'm happy. The storm is over. Guess what? They'll be okay. God is going to take care of them. If you were their God, it was wrong anyway. You can't be their God. They can't be your God. You let him go. We underestimate God. I got to save him. No, you don't. You're not going to save them. And guess what? You're not going to keep him safe. My daughter's approaching driving age. Actually, one has got, she can get a permit now. We refuse to take her to DMV. Now, she really hasn't asked, but, you know, she can get a permit. There is nothing we can do once she leaves the house in the car. We can pray. Worrying ain't going to keep her safe. God. She can have a seatbelt on. She could drive the speed limit, have her hands at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock on the steering wheel, look right, left, back, forward, everything. Only God. Only God. Anybody who's been in a car accident knows it was never your fault. Right? You didn't do anything wrong. It just happened. Only God can keep us safe. You know what he says? He threw them out, and the sea ceased. And then the Bible says the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord. And look what it says in verse 17. The Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Okay. He was in a fish. Give me a break. I'll say it very simply. There is a shark called a sea, it's referred to as a sea dog, and it is so big that in modern times they have found human bodies whole in the stomach of the shark. That's what they believe swallowed Jonah. If there was never an animal with ever a human body found in it, if it was so, it don't matter. God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. The New Testament says, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so was Jesus in the belly of the earth. Jesus was in the belly of the earth. It's a fact. God could have just created a fish just for that day. One of them. Just this big old fish with a big old stomach and a big old mouth. Swallow him up and that's it. Boom. If he wanted to, it don't matter. It don't matter. We're not talking God. We're not talking man. We're not talking CEO. We're talking God. So he said, hey, whoop, 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 whoop. Go. Jonah fell in. Blah, 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 blah. Fish came out. Ow. Now, imagine what it's like in the belly of a fish. Acid, it's all stanky, there's other fish in there. You know, I mean, yeah, let's be real now. He's in a belly. He's not in a room. Imagine what that brother was thinking. I mean, the fish is going down. The fish is eating other fish. Other fish come down. What you doing out here, man? You have brought fishing to a whole nother level. Third thing is going to, it's kind of corny, huh? Y'all missed that one. Third thing is going to cost you, and I'm going to end with this as a prayer of repentance. Look what Jonah prayed. Verse 1 of chapter 2. Jonah prayed to the Lord and said in the fish's belly, I cried out to you, O Lord, because of my affliction. And he answered, out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your bellows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul, yet the deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down into the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you. With the voice of thanksgiving, I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. It's very simple. God, it's my fault, huh? No kidding, fool. God, I'm sorry. I messed up. I'm not going to worship idols anymore. I'm not going to do what I want to do anymore. I'm going to fulfill what I vowed to you, to follow you, to speak, to be your mouthpiece. Please forgive me. And we'll see in a minute God delivered him. First thing you got to do is admit your affliction is because of your sin. You may not be able to say, well, they lied to me because of my sin. They lied to me because they're a liar. You're a sinner. And you need to ask God to forgive you of your sin. You need to realize that wherever you are and you call to God, he will hear you. There's no place he can't hear you. Even in the belly of a fish way down in the ocean, God is there. You have to say, "Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong. I've been running from you all my life. I am sorry. I want to now follow you. I know your offer to me, your calling on my life, your gifting is irrevocable. It's still offered to me. I want to accept that offer because you are the God of another chance. Not a second chance, a hundredth chance. Another chance. God, please forgive me." And the Bible says he heard Jonah. God will hear you. He hears you right now. Some of you are going, "Man, this is for me. This is for me." God is hearing that. In a minute, we're going to pray. In literally about 2 minutes, we're going to pray. And you are going to have an opportunity to cry to God and have him respond to your cry, to forgive you of your sin, accept you. And we're going to pray two prayers, one for the person who needs to be saved, one for the person who needs salvation, and one for the person who needs to say, "Lord, I need to stop following you. I need to start being diligent to do everything you call me to do as a Christian. Because I realize, you know what, my reputation, my happiness, my respect, my relationships with other people, it's being destroyed because of my rebelliousness." Last verse, verse 10. "The Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah to dry land." That's a trip. You ever talk to fish? Anybody ever talk to, he's in your little tank. "Fish, look." Broop, 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 broop. They don't pay attention to you. Broop, 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 broop. God spoke to the fish. You know, animals communicate with each other. Elephants can communicate 15 miles one to another through the woods with subsonic sound. This is what it sounds like. Just like that. Humans can't hear it, so it sounds like this. Animals have a way of communicating. Somehow, well, not somehow, God created that communication. So it wasn't English, it wasn't Aramaic, it wasn't Hebrew, it was sea dog language. And he communicated to the fish, and you know what he told the fish? Vomit. Vomit him up. And the fish swam over and hurled him on the shore. Jonah came out, googly gook, and you know what God said? "Go do what I told you to do." Imagine walking to Nineveh with all that slime on him. He said, "Jonah, go do what I told you to do." In a minute, we're going to pray. You know what you're going to pray? "Dear God, I'm ready to do what you told me to do. Vomit me up on the beach, I'm ready. Don't matter what I look like. And you know what? Any slime that's on me, it's a result of my own slime. I'm ready to ask you to forgive me. I'm ready to tell you I want to obey. I'm ready to follow what you call me to do. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you so much for the story. We thank you so much for that fish. You have your servants everywhere, even in the sea. Everything is subject to you, even the fish. Lord, I pray for the Jonas listening right now. Those people who have been running from you. Those people who have been denying your love, your forgiveness. Those people who have been disobeying you. Postponing obedience. Postponing discipline. Procrastinating in their faithfulness. I pray, Lord, that they would allow you to vomit them on the beach today. That they may go and do what you say. So if you would like either to receive forgiveness and salvation from Christ today, we're going to give you that opportunity. Or if you just know God has called you to something, you've been running from it, we're going to have one prayer for both groups. So in the privacy of your heart, pray this prayer with me. If you are ready to hit the beach, in the privacy of your heart, say, "Dear God, I've been running from God. Because of my sin, I have run from you. I believe that Jesus died, that he was buried 3 days like Jonah, and that he rose for my sin. Jesus, I'm ready to follow you. Please forgive me. Restore me to a right relationship. Grant me salvation, a clean mind, a pure heart. I'm ready to answer your call on my life. I want salvation. I want to be used by you. Thank you, Jesus. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer and you're ready to answer the call of God, whether you want to be saved, whether you prayed it for salvation purposes, or you prayed it because you are ready to take your relationship to a new level, just stand up to your feet, eyes closed, heads bowed. Just stand up to your feet right now if you prayed that prayer. God bless you. 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 If you're in the lobby, please stand up, eyes closed, heads bowed. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. Very good. God has called you and you responded to him and you know he knows you. You know he heard you. He heard Jonah. You're not in a fish. You're in a church. If he heard Jonah there, he hears you here. Anybody in the lobby standing up? Please stand to your feet. God hears you there. God bless you. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. God bless you. Now we're going to ask all you people who are standing to do one more thing. Whether you're standing in the lobby or in this place, we want to welcome you to the family of God. We're going to ask you right now to step out of your seat and come right down here to the altar. Let's give them a hand. Come on down here. People in the lobby, why don't you come down here? God bless you. Come on down here. Come on, let's give them a hand. Come on, come on. Amen, 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 amen. God has a plan for all of y'all's lives. We have people coming from the lobby also. God has a plan for all of y'all's lives. By faith, you have to believe him. You will not understand it. It'll always be a mystery. Even when it's happening right before you, God's going to do it his way. And every step of the way, you have to do it by faith. Every step of the way. He is always right. He is never wrong. And you will never know more than him. You will never know as much as him. We will never know nearly as much as him. We have to just by faith trust him. So he's been waiting all this time for you, and he's so excited. He's not mad. He's excited. He's happy. The Bible says the angels are cheering in heaven. They're having a party. Okay? We have parties, birthdays, Christmas. They have parties constantly. So we're going to pray. We're going to have you go talk to the people underneath the screens. They want to pray with you. And I want to challenge all of y'all out there, if you want to get prayer, we have pastors and ministers underneath the screens and leaders in the church. I'm also going to challenge you, if you can come at 8:30 to give more room to people who come here. We have a lot of room in 8:30 service. Bring a friend next week. Next week, we're going to finish this story, and we're going to look at the reason why Jonah ran. There's a reason. He even says it. And it's going to tell us why we run from God. If you think of all the things God's calling you to do, we're going to find out a few of those reasons next week. And when you see those reasons, you're going to realize, you know what? I'm just cheating myself. Let's pray for them real quick. Lord, we thank you for all these people. We thank you for your faithfulness in their life. We thank you for being so patient with them. And we thank you for the amazing thing you're going to do in their life. I pray you bless them and honor them today. I pray, Lord, that you do an amazing thing in their life. And Lord, for all of us, may we be thinking all week, what is God calling me to do that I've been putting off? I keep saying tomorrow. I keep finding something better to do. May we do it this week. And may we also count the cost of every day we put it off, that we are losing out on the blessings of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.